last time on the Weekend Bang. How are you guys doing today?
It was hot. It was like 100 degrees.
We're talking about innovations here, not dead people on the Weekend Bang.
My expectations were not set that way.
Articles on all the websites are about Call of Duty's doing the same shit over and over again.
It had Kevin Spacey.
If I was on the internet and I saw an article by Mr. Colin Campbell.
Is it like Homer Simpson on a treadmill?
Some people flaked on us.
A lot of people flaked on us.
I played Call of Duty 1 and I liked it.
Apparently somebody's trudging through the show.
Two of those big monsters you can't kill.
Armageddon?
You're 39, you have to retire now.
What did they do that was special? What did they innovate off of?
Yeah,
CRISPR nipples when you see them.
Did you say CRISPR nipples?
Let's do it.
Exactly. What, are you going to hang them?
4 hours.
Watch out!
Cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Weekend Bang in the morning. At night. Yes, coming to you live from Sacramento, California. Semi-live. I always say live, but it's semi-live.
Very far from live.
It's the Weekend Bang with yours truly, Sir Aaron Carter here. And we are picking up right where we left off, but a little twist. Do you guys know what the twist is?
We're not right where we left off because we recasted two people.
One people.
Who was here last week?
Raise your hand. Let everybody know. Joining us, of course, you heard his voice. He's willing to cosplay for whatever you want. Corey Vincent, everybody.
I'm not for sale.
Now, are you cosplaying as what they want you to cosplay as?
I'll be your private cosplayer.
Have we ever discussed that? What your first cosplay would be?
I know what my first cosplay will be. I don't know if we've discussed it.
Real question:
show.
You haven't cosplayed yet?
No, I mean besides Halloween. I mean, I guess I cosplay on Halloween.
Yeah, I was about to say cosplay every year, or at least once.
No, right?
Have you?
Yeah.
What have you been?
I was Urahara Kisuke.
With us today.
Urahara Kisuke.
Alex Bagginsworth, actually, everybody.
Pretty well done. I've seen pictures. Pretty well done.
I sweat through the hat, though, so I painted the hat myself.
I give him a couple of points because he has the blonde.
Yeah, that's the reason.
But then I take points away because he's not Japanese. Replacing Steven with us, Jada, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Upgrade.
Steven is camping,
upgrade.
I think.
Yeah, he's supposedly camping this
Steven
weekend.
Steven is camping.
Unless he's dead.
Wow, that's...
Eaten by a bear.
Just horrible.
That's my... We want to take
choked
that
on a goldfish.
I think,
choked on a goldfish.
If we had to guess on how Steven would die in the woods, I'd say eaten by a bear would probably be number one.
No, I think he was setting up his tent, and then like he fell in it, and then he fell into a river, and then...
So just one series of misfortunate events, huh? Wow. And that's how he goes out, huh? With a whoops.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
I imagine it'd be like an, oh, fuck.
Wow, it'd be something like that. Yeah. The Weekend Bang, everybody, is brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? Last week, we were talking about video game innovations, and we got like a quarter of the way, maybe?
We got the big ones out of the way.
We got the big ones out of the way, but we have a lot more. We are recording on Saturday, but you won't hear it until about, I don't know, Monday?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
A lot has gone on today, everybody. It's blazing hot here.
No, it's not.
Earlier today, I should say.
No.
It was blazing hot.
No.
You didn't stand in the middle of Mexico
That's in Mexico. That's not here.
I was in Mexico. Small story. I went to a small soccer field.
Took a wrong
field.
Turn in Albuquerque.
No, I went to a soccer field to watch someone play soccer, and I was out there, and they had the music going.
Ranchero music?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They had the language flowing like water.
Oh, man, yeah.
Chihuahuas running around. Chihuahuas. Multiple soccer teams on multiple fields. Multiple unassisted kids running around.
No, without, just children everywhere?
Yes.
Oh, man,
but the thing that made me upset the most, and I wasn't upset, actually, I had a very good time. I take that all back. The thing that made me the hottest was when I saw a group of guys.
Gross.
Wearing.
Aaron gets hot.
Wearing jeans.
Okay.
Leather.
No.
Jackets. No. Leather vests. No. And cowboy hats.
That's what does it for Aaron.
I said, I'm freaking.
I'm dying. Flames? I'm literally dead flames. Here. And you, sir, are wearing leather. Why?
And I'm wearing a t-shirt and shorts. And I'm like, if I'm extremely hot, you have got to be. Like, I don't know. It's got to smell terrible under there. I promise that.
Smells great.
Under all that leather.
I don't want to think of that smell. I got a similar story. I went to Concerts at the Park.
You know
Friday.
What? That's been very popular. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
No, that's been very popular.
Free
here.
Concerts. Oh, yeah. Cesar Chavez.
Yeah. Cesar Chavez. I got to go to one of those.
There's
cool.
only one more.
So oh, really?
What do you mean only one more?
For the end. It's like a summer thing that they
yeah,
do.
No way.
Yeah, it's only during the summer. That's why I said it's still going on, question mark. Because I went to like the first two.
Damn it. But okay, go ahead.
There's a theme. Like, I went to concerts in the park, and just about any bar you go to, like in Reno, there's always one drunk, ambiguously Mexican guy that's doing like a...
What do you mean ambiguously Mexican?
He could yeah. just be white with a tan, just dancing like he's Latino. But regardless.
Hmm. Oh, wait. Are you talking about the dancing guy?
Practicing.
Yes, maybe.
Oh, man. I love the dancing guy.
Well, there's always one.
Well, no. At downtown, he's the dancing guy.
Well
first of all,
I've seen this guy.
Let's be correct. There's always Uno.
The dancing hombre.
There we go.
Well, there's this guy. But I've seen them. Like, you see him at like parties. There's one guy who gets on the dance floor. He's like 60s Mexican. And he's dancing, doing spins and stuff. Like,
did he have a shirt off?
Was
he wearing a
it
vest?
It was a deep V.
A really deep
oh
V?
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Very deep.
Did he have a chain or whatever?
I didn't see a chain.
I cannot stand
but then, like, he started pirouetting and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He
and
goes
it was
nuts.
Like, whoa. But why is there only one at all these places? Do they all... Because
otherwise
like,
they have to dance fight.
Is there, I was going to say, is there a meeting?
Yeah. No.
Do like, they get assigned to each event? Are you saying?
Jose, you're going to concerts at the park. Because you can't have two in one place.
No, they have areas that they cover, like turf.
Like
so,
when
like,
we went to the bar. When we went to the dive bar.
Essay, yeah.
Like the Mexican guy
yeah,
when we went to
see,
the dive
that,
bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely different guy, but I know they're interconnected.
He was filling the night, put it that way. He had his drink on the bar, and the music was playing, and he was filling it.
I can't tell whether they're drunk or drugs are involved.
No, that was
or
his.
I think
high
they just
on life.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
and
think
that's
they just
dance
don't
like you, no one's watching. Have you heard that one?
I have, and it applies to just old,
yeah.
No, it applies to me too.
Mexican guys.
I am not an old, ambiguously Mexican man.
But someday.
Someday. That's my dream.
You so hope to be there.
They'll bring you into the
Alex.
Illuminati.
Someday.
He'll get a badge? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. If you haven't caught up with us or listened to the last week's show, like I said, we were talking about innovation in games. Jada, did you hear the last show?
Of course not.
All right.
Yeah, of course
yeah.
I did. You guys talked about The Division.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about The Division.
Hey, good call.
That's just random out
totally,
of my head.
You totally didn't read the notes or anything.
Could have just thrown that anywhere. And we had
no, I didn't
down...
mean Division the game. I meant the division between you and I.
That's terrible. Bum,
bum, you guys were, like, arguing.
We went over the new guys. So the latest games that are coming out for the consoles that are supposed to, you know, show you why you're going to buy these new consoles. Did we get that feeling from these new games?
They're
the
open
order,
world.
Open world is
persistent.
Tom Clancy's. The Crew.
The Crew.
The Crew. I don't understand why they shouldn't put
the
just
crew.
The Crew.
The yeah. Crew.
They didn't want to sound too ethnic.
Yeah, sure. Ethnic. little spoiler for later on in the show. I try to put in the show notes. I try to put in the show notes. We have a category called Dim Franchise Boys. When I was writing it out, because it's about franchise games, you know?
Yeah, those franchise games.
Exactly. So I put those, you know, I took that and just turned it into... So the
you turned it.
The stupid freaking program that I use that I write, I won't name it out because I actually like using it. It auto-corrected me and put Z's behind everything.
Franchise what? With like a Z and then
franchise
boys.
And boys. I said, you are wrong, Aaron.
This is how you write.
Don't
this.
Put S's behind these. It's Z's. So I was like, okay, all right. Our next category, our first category for today is the indies. Of course, indie titles are one of my favorite categories because it's when the developers get to let loose and really show what creativity they have, which I think we have a lot of lack of in some of the major titles, I should say.
Yeah.
All right? Is that acceptable?
I agree.
Alex was like, watch your tongue, boy. Watch your tongue. Game developers who work in small teams or alone, which nobody really does alone anymore.
Not true.
That's not...
Hyper Light Drifter.
Well, when we get to Hyper Light Drifter, I would have been proven wrong. Would you just wait?
No. You're wrong now.
Jeez. I can be wrong later. I lost my spot where I was reading. Thank you.
They're largely free.
Wait, you read the notes?
Yeah, I read the notes.
Oh, wow.
He's the only one.
Game developers who work in small teams or alone who are largely free of demands and concerns... of marketers.
I have become more powerful
in the age of Steam, able to access gamers through social media and adept at raising funds through Kickstarter. They're usually fiercely protective of their ability to create the things they want to create.
It's true.
And I will fight tooth and nail for these people.
I didn't know we were in the Steam age. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What Steam?
Steam is a... Okay. Let me paint a picture.
Steam powered.
Steam is a archaic form of...
Wow.
Nah.
Wow. It's the future.
First indie game on here is Quadrilateral Cowboy. Does anybody know what a Midnight Cowboy is?
Oh, man.
I just learned what a Midnight Cowboy is Friday.
I do not know, but I would have to guess it has something to do with...
Pot.
Oh, okay. I was going to go, like, with prostitution.
Yeah, I was going to go with prostitution.
Male prostitute, yes.
Really? All right, high five for male prostitution.
Quadrilateral Cowboy is not about being a male for male prostitutes.
You know what it is, though? It's about rectangular prostitution. Quadrilateral Cowboy.
I don't even... That's gross in so many...
Now you're thinking about corners?
Yeah.
Every angle.
And here are a couple of quotes from the developers about quadrilateral cowboy. I'm basically making a game about things I like.
Someone took a head full of microphones. We're recording late at night. We should tell everybody.
Yeah, that's why I started off at
well, we night. Didn't tell everybody. Well, you made a joke, but we're serious. This is late night.
Yeah, this is late,
late
this
night.
This is after hours. We should be
video
taking
game bang late night.
And we need to be taking calls from listeners with, you know.
You're on the air, listener.
Terrible. Things like using powers to programming to goofy stuff. Pitifully janky robots spending hours making details and finicky heist plans that immediately explode and playing with power saws and power drills and user manuals. And why is user manuals even a...
Because it's a thing. It's part of his experience he wants to make.
Yeah.
The games I make generally appeal to niche audience, he said. I didn't even get his name, did I?
Nope.
Well, this random guy, Quadrilateral, who just they found on the street and he started talking about the game.
The dancing guy.
Yeah, before he started developing games, he was dancing.
Dancing at the party.
Some kid's bar mitzvah.
He also goes on to say, Quadrilateral Cowboy is broadly about breaking the subversive security systems, but is being made a pretty specific made for a pretty specific kind of person. As a kid, I grew up. Taking things apart.
This episode is brought to you by Reading Rainbow, Aaron is going to be watching all night today.
Thank God they kickstarted that back.
I am hooked.
I'm sorry that I worked.
Learning to read.
I just woke up like 4 minutes ago.
These are
like
basic
40
words.
Minutes ago.
Yeah, like 40 minutes ago. I know, they're basic, so clearly it's... The problem with my eyes. Yeah, I don't know. I'm being lazy reading.
Do you want someone else to take over for you?
Yeah, why don't you, Alex? Go ahead.
As a kid, I grew up taking things apart to see how they worked. I'd remove all of the screws and take a peek at the guts inside, seeing who connected to what and figuring out how everything fit together. Those are the people I'm making Quadrilateral Cowboy for.
Wow, that engineers,
was,
right?
I think we got a new reader on the show.
That's basically what he's...
You have to put the emphasis on the right syllable.
And the
screen...
That's exactly why we don't have him as...
And the screen he's using is very small compared to yours, Aaron.
It's his
old man
matters.
Eyes. It's the old man
it's
eyes.
How you
it's
use
that.
It.
It's, I'm tired and...
Aaron, yours is so much bigger than Alex's.
Well, that's just...
You don't know that.
Quadrilateral effusion. What do we think about the game? Do you guys even heard about this game?
I heard about it. I haven't looked at it, though, really. It pops up, and the screens looked very confusing, and I don't like things that confuse me.
But he's an engineer.
I can obviously tell he's an engineer. There's like the engineering subculture is very much ripping things apart and breaking warranties and stuff like that.
But then they make it work again usually. I'm the guy that's like, I'll take it apart. And I'm like, I don't know how this works.
And
now it's broken.
A series of screenshots here.
Make them full screen.
Of Quadrilateral Cowboy.
Yeah, it's you at a computer screen doing stuff.
I'm already out.
Really?
Because if I'm going to sit at a computer screen and play a game of me sitting at a computer screen,
it's a niche audience.
So am I programming the whole time? Is that what's going on?
Probably.
Programming Simulator 2014.
This is innovative.
I smell innovation here.
I smell...
What other games do it?
Garbage.
Yeah, what's another game?
Life.
The game of life.
No, the game of life's very different.
RPG sucks.
Wow.
I want a new loadout.
I don't know. I'm literally looking at this, and it is definitely...
Literally looking at it?
He said it's niche, or it's,
it is
marketed
niche.
Towards the niche crowd.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of indie titles, too. That's one of those things you can do. You can be like, I don't know, I did it, and here's the thing.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Or don't. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care how many sales I make on it. I did it for fun.
I'm not going to get fired by someone because the game didn't sell. I'm me. I mean, I guess I could fire myself, but
I'm going to make this in game.
Disappointing.
I'm going to make this game in Game Developer Tycoon when I go home.
Quadrilateral Cowboy.
Quadrilateral.
Are you going to just keep making sequels to it, like EA?
Yes. Actually, no joke, my best-selling game is Sports.
You just named it Sports? Did you put a Z?
No, I saved that for the sequel.
The sequel was Sports.
Next indie game on here is Super Hot. Explains today. I saw Super Hot actually. Has anybody seen this game? It's the one where the world moves only when you move.
Yeah. I think that's really cool.
That is actually very cool. Somebody played it on Twitch. Yeah, that sounds right.
What? Whoa! Someone played a video game on Twitch?
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Stop the presses.
I usually just see cowboy girls playing their guitar and.
What?
That's all you see. Like, they don't play games anymore. They just tune their instruments and...
Oh, not those.
Yeah, exactly. The developer for Super Hot goes on to say...
Super Hot is about intense shootouts.
You're going to read this one?
Yeah, might as well.
We can go around, Robin. Go ahead.
Super Hot is about intense shootouts, but it's not a game that rushes you, said creative director Piotr Iwinicki. You can take your time, play it as fast as you want, as you can and want. You can slowly move between the bullets as they crawl through the air, or just rush when you feel secure or lucky. With the time moving only when you move, the game tightly adapts to your skill level. We took the twitchiness out of the FPS and found insanely fun new gameplay. Also, it's the first game ever that allows you to cut a flying bullet in half with a katana. How cool is that?
Very cool, actually.
Is it really
very,
the first
very
game
cool.
You can cut
a- Even pronounce the name better than you.
What? You mean Iwinicki? I thought he said Ilwicki.
No, I said Iwinicki.
Boom.
Well, then I'll be proven wrong when we play the tape back later and hear it. So anyway, this game is very stylized. Lots of reds everywhere.
Does it stay red when you're not moving, though?
It looks like it was white.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like it changes color when it moves, so that way you're instantly recognizing things like movement and how close and like danger and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
And you would you would think the game isn't that difficult because the world moves when you move, but it seems like enemies sneak up on you quicker. Like you'll move a half an inch and then boom, they're in your face and you're like, crap, what do I do now if I move to the left or right? he's going to move to the left or right.
You have all the time in the world to think about what you're going to do.
And how you're going
to
die.
But it's you have so to crazy. Do it still.
It's pretty crazy. Now, I'm more interested in this game than Quadro Lisbon. But...
You would.
You know, maybe this is just up my alley, I guess.
Yeah. You think this is a gimmick, a one-trick pony? What's your...
Oh, yeah, I'll be over it in like...
A minute.
4 hours.
Will you be over it, or will you enjoyed the game? What if it was like a six-hour...
See, this is the thing.
This is the thing. You said four hours is a gimmick or whatever. What if it's a six-hour game? What if it's a six-hour game?
Then I'm bored, too.
What?
Then I'm bored 2 hours?
All I'm saying is, you don't think it would carry you the six? You don't think you'd get through it?
Nah, I'd grind through the last 2 hours.
Do you think it'd be a... Would it be... It would be a grind, though?
If I got tired of the niche little... Whatever gimmick thing. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I'm more...
ADD?
I guess. Yeah, I guess I'm more ADD.
Not willing to love?
No, I'm definitely willing to love.
Not able to love.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just whenever I play a game, I look for the longevity in it. As opposed to, I just had fun for this brief instant.
There's some games that are just... That are great for that,
though. And like I said in the last episode... Maybe the internet has spoiled me a tremendous deal, because whenever I was younger and I played on the Nintendo 64, I could enjoy games multiple times for hours and hours on end, and it just held me over until the little inkling that I saw in a magazine about the next version of this game coming out. I don't know.
Back when Pony Express would drop off the magazine to it.
Yeah. And the milk was delivered at the front door. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. You're wrong, but that's okay.
I'm wrong?
I think
just saying I'm wrong doesn't prove I'm wrong. Why don't you come with some type of backup?
That's
with
my
it?
Evidence.
I like wow. the
source to me.
Wow.
It's peer reviewed and it's correct.
No.
That's science.
You're wrong, sir.
We got a very good debate going on.
See,
right
I feel like if like, you know, Alex's example, if it was a 6 hour game, you know, first four you're 4 hours, I feel like, you know, anytime you play a game, if it's over 4 hours, because, you know, they have those other stupid games that are shorter. But, you know, the first 4 hours, you're getting used to and you're building up your affinity to the game and, you know, how getting used to it. And then even if it was only 6 hours, the last 2 hours is when they really challenge you. That's a good game for me.
I guess what I'm saying is if it's well paced for the 6 hours.
Pacing is very important.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
And I can understand... an 8 hour game, and if it's paced badly, you only get 4 hours of fun out of it. You're like, ugh, the last 4 hours, or, you know, a certain hours in there were just dragged. It just dragged on for no reason. But I'm saying, like, a well paced 6 hour game, because you said you get tired of gimmicks in four or whatever. But, like, as long as it's paced correctly, would you enjoy the entire game? Even if it was just a gimmick?
Yeah,
basically?
If the gimmick was
like super hot for
paced
example,
out,
sort of
yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's just
like they
be the
added
whole
enemies
thing.
Just right, and they did combinations that were right, and things like that. And
yeah, because if I'm going through the game, if I'm going through the game, and then they're like sporadically adding little stuff, it doesn't even have to be anything big too. So like, if I'm going through super hot and I'm moving through the environment, and I go, I don't know, an hour, and then I realize that I can actually cut bullets in half, and then I go another hour, and then I realize that I can do whatever the next little small thing that's cool within this type of, you know, gameplay, then yeah, that's fine. But if it's just like I'm gonna blow my load right here in the first training sequence
it happens to a lot of people, but you know, you get over it.
I think Guacamelee, thinking back to it, was beautifully paced a game where the same thing, where like if he would have given me all those powers right off the jump, it probably would have gotten a little boring, but handing them to you.
That's like the super typical Metroidvania situation, though.
Yeah, but
here's this door you can't. I know. I played Guacamelee.
Okay, but it was really well done.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fun. I got paid to play it at work. Ha!
Did you play by yourself?
Yeah, I didn't have.
I played the entire.
Wow.
I couldn't justify anyone else at work playing it with me. So okay. I was like, all right, whatever.
I played with David. And it was like an 8 hour game by the time we were done. Just couch
did you get
fun.
The did you get the real ending?
What's the real ending?
The Mexican ending.
The mask. Where you go out to a soccer field and you just play soccer. No, where you get the full mask.
No.
Oh, that's because you would have said it right off the bat. I got the real ending.
How did you get the real ending?
You have to go get the pieces of the mask. You know how like you got the heart thing?
Oh, fuck, yeah, I got that.
You got that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember the one with the platforms that kept disappearing and reappearing?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God, that took me forever.
Well, that's what's cool with two people. I think we were, because we were able to like go into like a ghost mode. Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah. It was streamlined version. But what I think, Aaron, your problem is...
With my problem. Games, yeah. This is my problem. Yep. Okay, all right.
You expect every game to be your top bitch. And you need to, like, be able to accept the game for
No.
You got to have your main go-to that you're going to get your main replayability out of and put 100 hours into.
Where's that?
Your Fallout.
Your Fallout.
Okay, that came out how long ago?
1700
years. All right, so I'm still...
You got to find one.
I'm maybe still going with the old hoe back here. And that's what I'm hoping, literally, with FIFA 15, with the little stuff that they shown. Well, see, I can't even say it's FIFA, because FIFA Maddenizes itself as well. And I just...
This one has stupidly mud. Buy in.
So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it, yeah.
Real
and that,
mud.
And when I saw that, and they were like, and each mud. Player has emotions, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's 100%... Against what I usually, you know, I'm like, oh, this is a gimmick. I'm going to be over it. But I love soccer. So that's...
Conversations. Well, so conversations like this make Aaron more FIFA Mexican 15. Than more. So
you're top bitch. And then you just get some indies and play through 6 hours at a time.
I'm expecting
it, they can't all be long lasters.
I understand. They can't
sometimes
all
they're just
be.
Summer romances.
I can't for some reason
wham,
in this
and,
day and
wham,
age.
Wham, bam, and get the hell out.
I can't for some reason in this day and age figure why we don't have more quality titles than... Not quality titles.
Your quality is length, though.
No, it's not length. Like, I just dropped trout. That's the quality right there, ladies.
He's a girth man.
It's also girth as well.
No. To me, it just feels like, and I don't know, because there was a lot of games. This is how I'll equate it to, and then we'll move on to the next one. Because there was a lot of games for the Super Nintendo, regular Nintendo, and I bet you a lot of them were crap.
But those are like 100 years ago.
Right.
When you
but,
were like,
but this is what I'm saying. It's probably the same thing. The same thing now. There was a lot of games that were crap. You have a lot of games that were good, but like how many games on the regular NES alone? Hundreds, right?
Probably. I don't
and
know.
Yeah. Probably hundreds that are terrible.
476.
How many of them that you can think off the bat were just like good? Probably less than 10%.
I didn't play.
I only bought good games for my NES.
Well, I mean, and then nowadays it's probably the same thing. There's probably hundreds of games out there on the PC. There's millions of games, most likely on the PC.
Billions, really?
Billions, okay.
Trillions.
But
there's an infinite game.
There's
actually.
Probably an only, quite. I don't know, fingertip full that will, I don't know.
We're making
keep
a lot of comparisons to phallic shaped.
Fingers,
it kind
of
makes
wow.
sense, though.
Sometimes a cigar is just
yeah,
a cigar.
Yeah,
because
you're getting
okay?
screwed. That's why. You're getting screwed.
Getting dicked over.
Next game on our list, we have a game that we actually played something. Not played something. I take it back. We actually discussed something a while back ago when we did our first indie show that has the same type of mechanics. The game is called Scale. And do you want to take it away, Alex? Because I can already see a word like 7 words in that is going to screw me up.
It explores a unique mechanic without reflexively following the portal or
done right there. Reflexively.
Really? Reflexively? said creative director Steve Swink. He added that innovation in the game goes beyond its basic premise. I believe that... Oh, what? That's not a sentence.
I believe that.
Oh, it's supposed to be the. Okay. I believe that the whole will be much more than the sum of its parts. People are fixated on the experimental part. What they should be excited about is how the parts fit together and the philosophy that leads us to put them together that way. That's 100% true, by the way.
Yes.
That's 100% true.
Not 90%.
He goes on to say, our focus is not making something new. Our focus is building on something good. It just so happens that scaling objects up and down is a great tool for an experience of exploration, wonder, and joyful discovery. Also a giant cat that you can ride.
There you go.
You remember the game we saw?
Is this the same one?
Not the same one.
Okay.
Somebody probably saw their game and said, I can do better.
This one sounds a little bit cooler because when we were going through... And what, I forgot the name of the award show.
Oh, the Independent Game Festival?
Yeah. IGF?
Yeah, IGF.
Yeah, yeah, it was IGF. There was one of these that made it as a finalist. And
it was a college game too, though. Yeah. Mind you, they were college kids that did this. Yeah. That did theirs. Yeah. This guy and this game actually looks a lot more polished than theirs, but I mean, you know, it's
money can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Money, time, and the... Well, time, really, honestly. Experience. I think that's the biggest one. Maybe not even that. Just they have more time than kids in college that have to do it for a project.
Exactly. So you got a scale gun, make things bigger, make things smaller.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to be shooting the junk.
So it's almost...
that's all it's going to be.
So it's kind of
on the wrong setting.
So they kind of took, like, Fracture, that thing where you can move the ground and stuff. But bigger and smaller versus up and down.
Yeah, Fracture was terrible.
Well, yeah, I didn't say it was a great game, but actually, I'm saying...
Was this one... It was talking about scaling things up and down, but the other game was more about perspective.
Yeah.
It was like you walk away from something, and then you can make it closer. It was...
It was the same.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was like you can take the Eiffel Tower, and then if you kind of moved it slightly over, yeah.
Then you could walk closer.
And then it'll be. So this one just makes things...
I think I actually did see something on this one. It looked really, really good.
I want to know how they're going to use it. Puzzle ways.
Yeah, puzzle ways. That's how we say it in SAC.
How are they going to use it? Puzzle ways, Alex.
How are you going to use a puzzle ways, though?
Because I see the pictures of him, like, blowing up butterflies.
I think he's just kind of demoing it stuff. So you get to ride a cat. Sounds like something.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I mean, I see something like...
Aaron says that like you ride cats every week.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of cool. You get to ride cats.
It's not like I don't do that every weekend.
The best part of Murdered Soul Suspect was the part where you could possess a cat.
It's just stupid.
I believe that's untrue.
That's just so
as
stupid.
As a cat.
Can you move around as a cat?
Yes.
You're done. That's stupid. So you can't do that to humans. But cats are all...
Cats are
free
lesser.
Game. They don't have souls.
They have less brain power. Less brain power, so they're easier to control.
That whole game is just stupid. Scale, anyway.
Check out the review on nerdreactor.com.
Scale, I wonder how big you can go with this thing, though. Like, can I
see what you did there.
Can I just, you know, make, like, my own army of ants?
You probably won't have to.
You were way too proud of that idea.
No?
Can I make an army of ants?
But can I make an army of ants?
If I can't, the game is shit.
Yeah, it's dumb then. That makes no sense. If I can't make my... I see him fighting a giant spider. Army of ants. I'm just saying. I don't know what your symbols mean, but apparently we have to go to break. And when we come back, we'll hit you up with more Weekend Bang. This might have to go to 3 episodes. Good lord. Stick around. You'll find out if we do. More innovation when we return.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Hey, what's up, dudes? This is Ace from Strife. Hey, head on over to Strife.com, grab yourself a beta key for some of our closed testing. And you know what? Tell them Ace sent you. And while you're at it, listen to the Video Game Bang podcast. Peace.
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion, and you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Intelligent woman. And she deserves praise. That's why.
Type of praise that Aaron wants to give her.
He's
unable to.
He's not able to love.
Welcome back. I am very able.
He's like a robot.
No.
How dare you? How dare you?
He can only love robots.
This is not the forum for that. Anyway, welcome back to the Weekend Bang, everybody.
It's almost midnight.
Is it almost midnight?
No, it's not.
Yeah, almost midnight, which is my birthday.
Wow.
When's the cake going to roll in with Laura popping out of it?
Why is it Laura popping out of it?
That's the only girl in our crew.
It should be the quietest cake in the world.
should I
like cakes are loud anyway.
I'm
mean.
Sorry.
Was I supposed to jump out now?
I'll go back in.
Hold on. If you haven't heard the last episode of the show, if you're listening to this, go back to the archives 1 week. And we had an amazing birthday/anniversary show, which featured some of our very favorite guests. We had Janice Davis, 3-time video game
Academy
Bang.
Award winner.
3-time world champion in the welterweight category. Yeah. I know, I heard that.
We had Jen the Geek Girl LeBlanc and Laura Rodriguez return to the show. And it was a very special show to me.
And this is what we plan to do. Once we get Laura on the show more and more in the future and later on, because we plan to do this forever, we will build up a whole sound file of everything she said, and then we'll just put that out as a show. Because by, I don't know, our 400th episode, it'll be an hour worth of information.
I think total we've hit like 2 minutes. So we have a long ways to go.
Laura, we love you.
We love you, Laura. We know you don't listen.
I know. She listens. She listened to
Edwin.
Edwin. I was about to call you Eddard.
Eddard. No.
Eddard.
If we tried to behead him, that beard would stop the blade.
It's true. That's actually why I grew it.
Before we get more into the Kevlar. Before we get into more of the
beard,
the indie innovation games that we were talking about, we actually have one more, and then we'll move on to. Actually, we have two more, and then we'll move on.
No, but one more.
What was the game that you were playing, Corey? Oh, yeah. Quizzers.
Quiz up.
So I started Quiz
and
Up
I
myself.
I have to give Quiz Up credit. I got some shit from Hannah.
Would you
Porter.
Give it big ups?
No, Hannah Porter from work, not a very hardcore gamer, but is the one that taught me this game, and then I totally like owned it, like I came up with it.
Wow.
And then
wow.
I got a text message because she actually listened to the show for once.
Thank you, Hannah.
And it was like...
You co-opted the idea.
Yeah.
That's how white people say they're stealing.
Well, it worked in slavery days.
I know, right?
Just co-opt you on the bus.
Yeah.
Oh, on the bus. Took a bus over here. It is late, everybody. It is
not
late.
Not the boat?
Nope. All slaves came on a bus. Right up through Russia.
Great.
Over the Bering Strait. Right over. That's how it happened.
Oh, man. Hannah Porter, thank you.
Learn your history, everybody. Buses. Learn your history. We'll never get on it. Why do you think we sit in the back? Learn your history, everybody. Oh, but Quiz Up, real quick. I played the game. I had it on my tablet. And I got challenges from your wife.
That's me.
Wow.
The real truth comes out.
Yeah. Because I swear to you, I was playing the game. And it was like, what was it? It was Game of Thrones. And I was like, okay, she watches games, Game of Thrones. And we started the quiz, and I know it's not, you know, in real time with you. It's against a computer, I'm guessing, or your recorded.
Yeah, my ghost times.
And I'm like, there's no way she remembered that. Oh, she remembered that. Damn it. There's no way she's going to be she's faster than me on that one. Okay, all right, let me try it again. And it's just like each one, I would get the answers right, but a split second, the answer would lock in on her side. I'm like, she is like the quiz champion over here. And then Kyle, the same thing. When I played Kyle McGuire, he challenged me to a logo contest. I'm like, okay, I don't know why he would think I would know logos, but...
Because you know logos.
I guess. I didn't know Black Flag logo. I didn't know the logo for Black Flag. And
the
I
band?
Work in a hardware store.
What's Black Flag?
The spray to kill bugs?
Oh.
You guys not know what Black Flag
no,
is?
No, I just know Raid.
I use Raid.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody uses that shit.
I use, sorry.
It's good
Raid.
Enough for my computer. It's
I don't
good
use
to
any
bugs.
Of that stuff. I use a shoe. The hell?
I actually
waste
just give it,
money.
I give it stern looks. I say, hey, no.
Get out of there.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
Bug Killer is a Nike logo.
Exactly. Quiz Up, though, everybody. If you like games and you like quizzes, and you can get very specific in the category.
Oh,
you,
my
God. Yeah, it's really good.
Did I send you a community one as well?
No, I didn't get anything for community wise.
Yeah, I have to play on her phone because I use Windows Phone, which is going to change very shortly. I'm switching.
I was going to say because it was two challenges from her, and I was like, I don't know if this is a cry for help or like, can we send messages through
Quiz
Up?
Me, Aaron.
Terrible. Back to innovations. That's not really innovative, I guess. There's been quiz games all around. You Don't Know Jack. It's amazing.
Bam, yes. Innovation.
Was
love You Don't Know Jack.
Amazing back in the day and still great.
But here we go. Hyper Light Drifter, people.
Yes.
Alex.
All right.
It's not challenging.
We plan for a textless and voiceless experience, one of pure visual storytelling, said creator Alex Preston.
Ooh,
I
Alex.
Think people should be excited because we've been hard at work developing a project with a soul, depth, and meaning. The visual style and general aesthetic, the atmosphere we're creating, and the personal story I've poured into the world and characters. I hope that once people experience the game, they'll find it intensely beautiful, mysterious, and meaningful, all supplemented with fun, fast, and brutal action.
Hyper Light Drifter is the one developed by the same people that did, what's that thing I'm thinking of? It's not the same people that did the shoot. Bastion? Yeah.
No.
Okay. That was, Bastion did Transistor.
Transistor.
Yeah. That's the other game.
I still need
to
play that.
Yeah. It has the same art style, kind of, though, with this watercolor paintings. I'm looking at it right now, people.
No. That's fan art. That's a real game.
Okay, so then what the hell are you talking about?
That's not Transistor.
It's like pixelized watercolors. Do you not understand? Are you not? Okay, I guess I'm just talking in crap.
Pixelized watercolors.
Because it has like hard edges, like it's all squared. That is Bastion in like 8-bit form. Don't give me that bull
crap.
That's
what I'm saying. 8-bit, like, that's a different art style.
Transistor is not 8-bit by any means.
This isn't Transistor.
That's Hyperlight.
I know. But you're saying it was like Transistor.
I'm confused! No. Well, no. I just got the names confused, not the looks. Because I don't even know what Transistor looks like now.
More pixel.
Can I see?
More pixel.
Okay. You can see this.
It's way more pixel art. It's,
yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, it's a very beautiful game. Very beautiful game. Now, you said textless. So I'm guessing there's going to be no text.
Nope. You just kind of figure it out as you go.
That's cool.
Which is actually kind of a throwback to older games that you were talking about, like NES and SNES stuff, where they don't necessarily tell you how things work, and you're just kind of like, well, I'll use this.
And that's cool.
Just like Zelda.
That's cool. Yeah.
Find your way.
Exactly. If.
Fuck you.
If.
Here's a sword.
If.
It's,
go kill shit.
If it kind of nudges me in the right direction.
Yeah, it'll nudge you.
As long as it doesn't do one of those things where we just drop you in a four-wall building and do what you need. To do, get out, and like, I don't know what to do. You drop me in a plain white building, and there's four walls, no doors.
What is that?
Some developers do that.
What game is that?
That's just what some developers do.
No.
I will find a game.
All right,
you have challenged me.
Is this the one about the guy, and he has a heart problem, and that's why it's taken so long? Was that Hyperlight Drifter?
You mean the developer?
Yeah. I could be wrong. Could
I
be
don't
another
remember.
Game.
I know it's a Kickstarter game. I know that.
Yeah. It did really, really well on Kickstarter, too.
2D action role-playing game developed by Heart Machine. Maybe it is.
Heart
because,
Machine,
yep. Yeah.
That's why he named the company that.
Maybe
is because he
is.
Has a heart problem. And he explores some of that in the game, supposedly.
Following
this one pretty closely.
I will be upset if you have to take heart medication.
Well, no. It's not. It's not like directly, you know, like,
okay.
My heart is bad. It's like, it'll be things about, like, the heart
issues
of something
stuff.
Yeah,
like he's gone through and stuff. He used that for storytelling.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, people. A heart boss battle. No.
And like,
no. Okay.
That's too real for me.
It's too real. Just got too real.
I'm shooting for that heart attack by 40. So
wow. Why are you shooting for the heart attack by 40?
Because by 40 Alex will have done everything he needs to do.
It's true.
Wow.
His beard will have grown out to
it'll
majestic
be too strong
lengths.
I'll have to end it.
Rhyme is the
next
game we're talking about. Not rhyme as you would spell it, but rhyme as they would spell it.
Like ice.
R-I-M-E. So I'm guessing that means there's some type of cool play on words here because it, you know, no?
I don't know.
All right, let's read about this then. We want to combine the beauty of a Mediterranean, of the Mediterranean, excuse me, with a thoughtful and
evocative
gameplay experience.
I don't know, we gotta help him.
Says creative director Raul Rubio Munariz.
Oh my god, you watch soccer and you can't pronounce that. You're
There's
terrible.
There's not one soccer player that
Munariz.
I know.
Munariz.
There's not one soccer player that's good that has that name.
You're still terrible.
We're constructing a delicate, beautiful world that is more like an animated concept painting. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The whole game is about the interrelationship between the boy and the island, so much so that the island almost becomes a character in its own right. There is meaning in the island that is deep below the surface. It has many mysteries for the player to discover, and if the player works hard enough, the true identity and personality of the island will become queer.
No, clear. Become clear.
Oh, clear. Clear, yeah.
You had it all the way up until the end.
I thought it was...
Well
sorry.
Done, well done.
Sorry. So clearly this is a game about a boy on an island.
He fell asleep watching Lost.
It's not?
I think it's an island on a boy.
That sounds like an SVU case.
Yes,
right there. I haven't seen Rhyme. Have you guys seen Rhyme?
Nope.
It's supposed to be coming out for the PS4.
Mm. No, I haven't seen anything
Neat.
On it.
PlayStation 4 exclusive? What?
They didn't show
that's
any,
why.
They didn't show anything at E3 for it either.
Very stylized game. It looks like, oh no, this is 2D. Never mind. I was going to say it looks kind of like an Ico feel to it. Can you see that there,
yeah,
Alex?
I can.
Okay.
It's like prison.
Hold it up to the mirror. Hold it up to the mirror, man.
The way we're all seated, Aaron has to hold his tablet up to the mirror so Alex can see it.
Open world gameplay, free form exploration allows you to explore the island, face its challenge, and ultimately undiscover the terrible secrets. Why do I want to discover?
Undiscover them?
It says, oh yeah, uncover. I'm tired. Shut up.
Well, the undiscover is like, well, I want to not.
Exactly. I don't want to know what's on this island.
You
want to
talk about an innovative game? You got to cover up all the secrets you know in the game.
There you go. You might be onto something. And then player two comes around and has to uncover everything. Secrets. See how good it's called FBI.
Don't
agent.
Go through this door. <FBI. laughs>
You're the government. It has dynamic puzzle solving. It says you are integral to how puzzles are solved, and with the help of a mysterious artifact, you can manipulate the environment and even time itself.
Maybe I have seen a little.
Sounds, no. You know, honestly, no. Some of the stuff, especially with the story, kind of reminds me of Papo Io.
Yeah.
Kind of the way they're talking about it kind of reminds me of that style type of game.
Did Papo Io have a unique control system? Because this one does.
Probably not.
Tactile and original gameplay using the DualShock 4 wireless controller. Sound, light, and touch.
Is that enough gimmicks for you, Aaron?
Are all key to rhyme.
You're the person that they're marketing this to.
Wait, sound?
If we put so more we gimmicks in here.
It says sound, light, and what is how does is there a light sensor in the controller?
Not that I know of.
No, it's called you're looking at a screen.
Wow.
And then sound is the audio of the game, I'm sure.
But
I'm
light
sure
can't
it.
Just be... Everybody would freaking yes, say, well, light is in my game, so yeah, there you go, everybody.
No,
but did they pay
know.
The same marketing firm? That's
we,
the thing.
We all know. We have all worked in a video game store, and we've all read the back of cases, and we've seen some of their call-outs, like, oh my god, it's got multiplayer.
Yeah.
Really? That's your big call-out?
I want more details about this light. That's what I want. There's a touch screen.
Well, light is
no, I
shut waves.
There's a touch pad on the top of the PS4, so I'm guessing that's what they mean, right? For the
tactile
touch with the DualShock 4. This game, it looks pretty cool. I really like visually pleasing games, of course, for like artsy looking games.
Well, that's the thing, as I said, it's kind of like a concept painting that kind of, I don't know, sounds like it could be not game enough. I don't know if that's a way to say it, but like something kind of like where it's not enough game
what's
in
the,
your art.
What's the game
there
that
game for you.
It was on the PlayStation and it was you it was like kind of
you're
music
have to say a lot more
Swan.
Things.
No.
No.
They drop you into like this desert looking thing.
Journey.
There you go. Journey was one of those games that I was kind of really excited for because it just seems like I don't know what's in this world and they're just dropping you in it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You do kinda, you know, get pushed in a certain direction.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They said there was gonna be, you know, multiplayer like or co-op.
But you don't
or something
talk
like
to
that.
Each other.
Yeah, but you don't talk.
Stuff.
So you have to figure out. Yeah. So it was like that. And I like those type of looks, I should say.
Experiences.
Experiences as well, because it was kind of new at the time.
Yeah.
Well, actually just new at all, you know, because I don't think anything
game.
Else was like that, right?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not in the same way at least.
Yeah. So yeah, Journey was definitely a good example. If I had a compare something, rhyme would probably be, you know, a Journey-esque.
That could be true. It could be also like, I'm wondering if it's more like Dear Esther as well.
Ah, yes, Dear Esther.
Oh, yeah.
That made no sense to me.
Haven't actually done it. I need to. It looks good. Looks cool.
And that was the indie games, people, for the next gen system cycle, where there's probably going to be hundreds more. No, I shouldn't even use the word probably. There's going to be hundreds more by the end of these life cycles.
Billions.
And they're going to continue to push the envelope and show us where creativity can be had on buses from Africa to America. Next category we're going with are licensed games. Now, we all know what licensed games are, right?
Nope.
Yep.
Historically, licensed games have not been noted for their ability to challenge conventions. Yet, the recent success of Walking Dead... That was, yeah, I guess it's successful. And the Batman
what?
Franchise.
What do you mean, I guess it's successful?
Yeah, come on. I don't know how much it sold.
Oh, man, the Walking Dead game?
Yeah,
it did awesome.
Game of the year, right?
Yeah.
They're doing another season of it, too.
All right.
Come on, Aaron.
Get it. Come on. And the Batman franchise have shown that care and due attention can make for great games, even accounting for the looming presence of a license holder. Here's a question real quick before we get on to the first game, which is Game of Thrones. Why are there more licensed MOBA? There's only like what one
of what?
Wait,
what is it? DC?
The DC one. That's it.
Why? What would you license?
Consider that Blizzard one.
There's so many, and then Blizzard. Yeah, that's the next one's coming out.
But they're not. That's not licensed. That's them. Yeah. That's them making their game.
Yeah.
Somebody else would have to.
I don't know. The way I took it is that it's coming out with those are licensed
characters from.
But they're licensed to themselves.
They're licensed to
which
that
is fine.
Game.
That doesn't make them any less licensed.
Corey.
No.
I'm on your side.
A licensed game is when you have a license, like a DC. They don't make video games. They license it out to a game maker.
Yeah. Corey.
They're separated. Yeah. So the game maker can't necessarily do what they want to do.
Aaron co-signs with me. I'm good.
You can't take one type of game and change the genre and call it licensing.
What about Smash Brothers then?
No.
You guys are picking nits.
Yes.
It's a licensed game then,
because you're getting licenses for different companies. Like Sega has
so
Sonic
one, yes,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a licensed thing because of different. Because you're blending.
Like
but
Pikachu in it
but
is
let's
part
say,
of
hold
Nintendo.
On, now let's get a little bit technical. Blizzard, they're all are they all licensed to Blizzard? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's not going to be one.
No.
No. It's all Blizzard characters. But I'm on your side because what they.
You're wrong, but I still say
I agree with you.
It's licensed.
We're not sitting on the couch, so we will agree.
And nobody ever said. Nobody answered the original question. Why don't you think there's more license?
Because a MOBA is like
a hot genre.
I think they're better when they're
it's
unique.
Not.
It's the least like
Invitational Dota is out right now, right? What's the grand prize on that bad boy?
$10 million.
All righty then. You can't tell me it's
good
not
load.
Hot.
That's a
Wait,
lot of
I'm
money.
I'm sorry. Not the grand prize. That's the total prize pool. My bad.
What?
Yeah,
nonetheless,
grand is like five or
seven or there's 10 mil attached to the stupid thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Nonetheless, it's a so hot.
It is hot. Hotness. But there's not. There's no story to explore.
It's basic.
What the hell does that got to do with anything?
That's what you do with a licensed game. You want a story to explore. You
tell
want
that
something
to, the,
to do that.
Well, they can. You can't. There's so much lore that they put into these Dotas. Don't
and
act
how
like
many
they,
people read them?
Not at all. Right. But
there you
I,
go.
But
I actually read most of the lore for.
Well, there you go. You're sitting next
yeah,
to somebody.
I read it too. I just.
Oh,
I'm
so
in the
I should
minority.
Throw my freaking.
I know
yes,
I'm
we
in
are,
the minority,
but nonetheless,
but no, yeah, we are a minority that like nobody.
Wow.
That's why they like because League of Legends used to have like what they had
be known as a minority on
their like little news script or whatnot,
yeah.
And they discontinued it because
yeah,
nobody cared.
But the thing is, I feel, and maybe they don't think. Of course, they don't think this way. Whenever you have a license. Even if the story is not there, you can kind of still wrap it to a certain amount, of, a certain type of gameplay. The anime Bleach,
mm-hmm.
Most will be like, "Oh, I like it for the story. Oh, I like it for the action scenes, whatever." When before the game for the PlayStation 3 came out, I said this fits the mold of Dynasty Warriors. It should just be a Dynasty Warriors type of game. Mm-hmm. I don't need the story. You know, you can. I can read text that I can scroll up and then just go hack and slash crap all day and then with you know 10 different characters and I'll be fine. They came out with that game and I thought that game was amazing. Like it wasn't game of the year by any stretch of the imagination.
Everyone plays Dynasty Warriors.
But it took
everyone
that,
secretly likes a Dynasty Warriors.
It took that license and it saw it for what it could be in this mold, and it
but
put
it had
in there.
It had a storyline, and it followed the storyline. I'm sure.
Yeah, but that storyline.
No.
Was
like in the same way as like Dragon Ball Z fighting games. You know how you play through the story mode.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a story to it, but at the end of the day, you're still playing it. Yes, if you put it into the right area, I don't think there's necessarily a lot of things that can fall into the MOBA as much.
Pokemon.
I know we talked about that, and I agree with that one though.
Marvel.
DC's already doing it, so I mean,
so Marvel can't just. I mean,
no, but I'm agreeing.
Marvel,
since DC's
Marvel already
Marvel
chose
can.
Theirs. Theirs was Diablo,
and they're stupid for that.
They're
yeah,
they made mistakes.
I mean, there to me, I think there are a lot of different licenses that just don't, you know, get utilized.
They're not done in the right way.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
In the anime,
if you want to watch a mishandled license, look at Warhammer 40K.
Yes.
That thing has been so abused by video games so many times.
What would you have put it in? Because it's been an MMO. It's been
RTS.
I thought it was.
Warhammer 40K hasn't been an MMO yet.
It was just Warhammer?
Just Warhammer.
Okay.
Fantasy. Yeah.
Oh, not the
and that
machines.
One actually was a pretty okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was a pretty okay MMO. It was pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was solidly mediocre.
Let's. I don't know. That just bugged me for some reason.
I want
I'm like,
a Warhammer.
It does feel like
so
a
many.
Lot of games are settling for mediocre because we were looking. Best Buy is doing a buy one get one free for 3DS games.
BOGO.
Yeah, BOGO.
Yeah.
For select 3DS games. So I was looking up... yeah,
that's the only reason I know is because that damn white sign.
Term. No, BOGO? Yeah, all right.
The Payless Shoe Source?
White person next, term. Yeah.
Damn sign every day walking to work.
Yes. Aaron, have you ever said BOGO before?
No.
Just now?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I always said buy one...
Get one.
For the price of... Or buy two for the price of one.
Buy two, get one free?
Extremely wordy. But regardless, I was looking up... the Triple Deluxe Kirby. Kirby uh-huh. Triple Deluxe.
That sounds like a burger.
I would eat a Kirby Triple Deluxe.
I would totally order a Kirby.
That would be my heart attack, though.
Yeah. You have just chosen how you die now when Japan comes out with the Kirby Triple Deluxe.
But reading the headlines, they like to use quotes from the magazines and stuff like that. And the one they use for their multiplayer is like, IGN says it's solid multiplayer. You might take that one out. That's not the one you want.
You literally
can
just take the two words out of any article, really.
Yeah. Dot 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 solid dot 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 multiplayer.
Because they could, you could read the article and be like, solid multiplayer, but the game is so bad.
Yeah. Someone once said at the beginning of their article is like, I want to say this is better than Gran Turismo. And then like went on to say, but I can't, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they clipped that and they put dot 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 at the end, and they said, "I want to say this is better than Gran Turismo." Like, you know,
that's what I want to say.
And they're like, "Well, that's wrong." So thanks.
Yeah.
Just don't quote
me. The funny thing with the Kirby, since Kirby's on topic, they're actually taking the multiplayer modes and making them separate for download.
Really?
On the 3DS, you're going to be able to download just the multiplayer modes. Because the multiplayer, one of them is like a Smash Brothers, where you pick your Kirby, you pick your hat, and four players duke it out. So
that's awesome.
They're looking at the rest of the game like, oh, fuck, well, this is the only thing we got that's solid, so let's fucking put it on the marketplace by itself.
Kirby.
License games, though. That's where we started, and that's where we will...
You did this to us.
Yes, I know. Hey, Amy, I like to spark conversation. That's what this show is about. The first licensed game on here is Game of Thrones. Everybody watch Game of Thrones here?
Nope.
Well, I guess 50% of the room does. Mr. Steve Allison says, above all else, we're going to be true to the world and characters you've seen on the TV show.
Which means the game will suck, but we'll tell the story.
What? I see, and that's I'm gonna what? Let me read.
Well, I'm just going.
I appreciate
just...
how they basically fessed up. Well, we're not actually going to use the real source material. You know, the books.
Well, that's what got popular. That's why.
I know.
I mean,
I'm just basing my opinion on the first Game of Thrones game.
I have a coworker.
That's not fair. She's absolutely not fair.
I have a coworker. She just got into the TV series, and you know she. Her husband is going to start reading the books, but she's like, I can't find myself reading these books. Like, I saw them and, you know, the size is intimidating, of course.
I get that. I get that.
I'm just, you know, I had
all
a, yeah.
The time.
Yeah.
But she was really into she is really into the TV show. So I can see them catering towards the masses.
Yeah, the LCD.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, and the lowest common denominator, I don't know if you read this part because I was kind of zoning out. But when it says we're going to work directly with the folks at HBO so that the series is going to be an integral part of the world that they've created, I can trust that. That show is so good, written so perfectly, even with the variations from the books, that as long as they are overseeing it, they're not going to let these guys just shit on their universe.
As a fan, you'll have you'll have agency in the world you love.
Question
whatever
mark?
Whatever that means.
Well, because not all everybody loves it, right? So, do you love it?
Yeah. Well, if you're playing it, you gotta love it. Otherwise, why are you playing it?
Okay, I guess I'll accept that.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That is, you'll affect the story and the characters you meet by choices that you make. The choices and consequences. Is a big theme in Game of Thrones. That's so terrible.
Good editing.
That's so terrible. In Game of Thrones. So there's a perfect match between source material and telltale gameplay dynamics. Innovation is going to come through your choices, rippling through the narrative harder and more unexpectedly than any game we've done so far. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster of highs and lows. They'll leave you thinking about what you've done or didn't do for a long, long time.
Probably not. It's going to be another Telltale game.
I promise you, Boo Boo. If freaking Corey plays this game and I play this game and we get some same type of stupid ending, but we made totally different choices, I'm going to be upset. Because that's how it was with stupid Walking Dead. Walking Dead was an amazing story. driven type of game. You know, you don't play it for like the action scenes or anything like that. You know, very.
I'm playing The Wolf Among Us right now, and I'm playing a Telltale game.
We play different. Telltale is good at putting these stories in game form, but to me, where they fail is that whole
variety of
me feeling like I'm actually affecting the world. They make you, they trick you in the beginning, like, oh yeah, you are affecting, and then at the end, no, you didn't. It's we planned for you to come here anyway.
Well, there's only so much you can do.
Is there?
No, yes. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Have you written a Choose Your Own Adventure book?
I've read some.
Yeah.
Are we not beyond that?
This is a video game.
Come on.
Now, maybe it's not possible in its current price point and stuff, but I think if they went full-fledged and made a full top-dollar game...
How many other games can you change the ending depending on your choice, based on your choice? There's nothing that's like that, because it's a story that they're telling. No. You still choose one of, what, four? And have you beaten New Vegas?
Not yet. Yeah. I beat it twice. Yeah.
Okay. You know how you, on one of them, it's just like, hey, do you want to side with this people or this people?
Yeah.
I want this one. Okay, cool. That's
Vegas.
It. Whoa.
Vegas wasn't three. And three,
thank
there were
God.
Three. There were multiple endings, and then at the end, they wrap it up by telling you the different, you know, what you affected. Oh, you didn't save that little girl, so she went off to be a dictator in Cuba and killed everybody.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
It's my favorite.
Or yeah, you saved that girl, and she went and ruled the world some other way by genocide.
They
one way or another.
It's like
someone.
A flowchart, and it all funnels down into key decisions because those are actually the big overarching ones.
Cut off that freaking part that funnels it down. And just leave it open at the end of this. They did this so many.
How
do you code that?
How do you do that? There's a game called True Crime Streets of L.A.
Okay,
there's three different endings. I understand this. This is very bare bones basic. Three different endings to this game. And you have to play through the game multiple times to get each different ending or whatever. But depending on the choices you make in the game, and it's very shallow. It's kiddie pool shallow. But...
That's a lot of piss.
Depending on the choices you make in the game, you do get these. So he could play the game, Corey could play the game one way and get a certain ending, and then I could play the game a totally different way and get a different ending. And it just seems like they never expanded upon that. It seems like they started to do that when we start developing more games that gave you these choices that make you feel like you affect the world and the story. And then they were like, let's get lazy and let's write one ending, and then they'll eventually get back there. You know, they'll change everything on the way there, but their end goal is always going to be,
isn't that the same for Fallout though?
No, well, like, no. Now, see, in the beginning it was, and then they came out with that DLC that kind of, you know, opened it up more.
So I was actually going to say that the original incarnation of Fallout 3 did all end in the same way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was a DLC that they added that actually just let you play afterwards.
So
that was the main pushing focus of it.
Yes.
And the only reason it doesn't end the same way is because they want you to play after that. Which means, given their agent, like, your agency is their story, period.
Yes.
That's it. And that's the way video games are going to go. There's no... If you want your own, write your own damn story.
But the thing in Fallout is that you can achieve that story. Yeah, sure, there's a story laid out, but you can achieve it in limitless ways.
But it all terminates in the same spot.
He's saying
and
even
that's
though,
what you're arguing against.
Yeah.
And
I think what we're talking about, because I agree with Aaron on the fact of with Telltale's strategy, I think they give you the illusion...
Yeah.
Of an impact.
Oh, all the games have choices do.
Because, and even in 2, like, I finally made a choice that affected a little bit more. And more of what I'd like to see is, like, did you play season 2 yet of Walking Dead?
I'm never going to play that game. Okay. I hate Walking Dead.
Oh, well.
Zombies are so dumb.
Like, in the second one,
well, I mean,
you can choose between two people to live. And that's kind of like a first, because usually it always ends the same way with somebody. Like, you can choose life or death, and then they're both going to end up dying anyways.
Don't you dare.
Mass Effect.
Don't you dare bring that boat crap up.
You have to choose between one or two people to live. Yep. I hit my mic. That's how upset I am. either Caden Olenko or... What's her face in the first one?
No, it's Ashley. You just let Ashley live.
That's right. Of course you do.
Caden Olenko. Who was that?
I don't know.
That was a character?
Yeah, that was the other guy.
Yeah.
You have to choose.
There was a choice?
Yeah.
Just let them die.
Yeah. No, but they let you do choices. And everyone said that the third one wrapped up incredibly badly. No, until they added a DLC to fix it.
No. The DLC fixed nothing. The DLC fixed nothing. I'm talking directly to the developers of Mass Effect. It fixed nothing.
This you is lose, what, sir.
Yes. No, no, no.
Good day.
So no, I'm saying that was a termination in three. So those, I mean, those are obviously sequel games.
Yes.
But the way they ended and what you did affect was quite large on how it changed things from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3.
Here's how I say you fix it. And this could be, you know, taking or leaving, whatever. If you have somebody, there's got to be a team of people writing the story. And they all want you to have that story, you know. You come out of the vault, you save your father, blah, blah, blah. We want multiple endings. You know, they always, somebody, some games always say, oh, we have multiple endings. Well, then have multiple writers, I say. That way, if something gets affected towards one way, you'll get Tom's ending. If something gets affected another way, you'll get Dick's ending.
But how do you actually make that a game?
You make that a game by the same way that you've made games all along. You have people make the decisions in game, and then their path changes. Just like in life, if I go out and kill somebody, I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to jail. My path just changed. I don't go to work every day.
You had escaped to Mexico.
So that's what, well, my path just changed again. I'm not going to work. I'm going to Mexico. You can do that in video games because they've done that in video games.
It's way easier to break a game like that, though. Break it unplayable. You know what makes games fun? Rules. And you're saying...
It's true.
I mean, you're taking away a lot of those where, like, it sounds like your choices and stuff, which are given to you by the game, sure. Uh-huh. But you can make... Do you want an unwinnable scenario?
You can... No. You can...
I wouldn't mind an unwinnable scenario.
I would be pissed.
You can get it with the rules and everything still locked in, but it would just, the rules would just simply change. You would have everything.
They would simply change.
I'm telling you, it's fully freaking capable. They're fully capable of doing it. No. They're capable of doing it. I think it's lazy development. That's what I'm going with.
It's so hard when it's with story writing to have a congruent story to something that's going to continue and then have 15 different, because that's what you want. You want 15 different endings. You want, when you make one choice, it to branch out and make 15 different endings.
That would be ideal, yes. But I understand how unrealistic it could be to go have 15 branch into 15, branch into 15. So have one branch into three, branch into...
So you want nine endings.
They don't tout nine endings in a whole bunch of different games?
Dragon Age.
Booyakasha. Right there. And what they mean by nine different endings in Dragon Age is, oh, this time you're black.
Yeah.
That's how it ended.
That'd be a twist for me.
You walk through a portal and, oh my god, the dragons turned me black.
You see, in this cutscene, she took two sips of wine.
Exactly, yeah.
The first one, she takes wine.
But I understand it's a daunting task. There's a lot of coding, there's a lot of story writing, there's a lot of everything.
And the big thing is when developers come in to make a game, they have a story they want to tell. And that's why they make a game. You know, it's like Hyper Light Drifter.
I think that's why Aaron's drawn towards a game like EverQuest Next.
I was actually going to say EQ Next or even Landmark, honestly.
Yeah.
You'd probably dig that because...
I'm on it now.
Yeah, nothing matters and everything's different.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's...
It also speaks to a non-permanence of things. Oh, I made this choice. Oh, I made this choice. Well, now they're completely different. Or it's not a cohesive... I don't know. I guess the cohesiveness.
Decision-making in video games, especially in an RPG, is so pivotal to the game. Like, if they can put you in a situation where you have to make these cut-and-try decisions that affect you later on, that's the essence of what an RPG is to me. Like, I remember KOTOR. There were some decisions in there that were hard to make.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were some... decisions, like the one with the Ithari. I can't remember.
I don't know who that is.
Never actually played KOTOR.
Snail looking people.
Okay.
But, yeah, without that, what do you have? And Aaron's got some ideas on branching storylines. You guys are shooting it down, but in theory, do you guys like the idea of a storyline that you guys are creating the decisions and branching out storylines? Or are you guys just not interested in that idea at all? Like, besides saying it's hard to do or near impossible, screw that. Throw that out the window. Is that something that interests you?
To a degree.
I wouldn't mind it.
And I win. Now, when we played Fallout 3 for the first time.
And I win.
For the first time, the thing that really got me, and I think this is why you know, they agree, I wouldn't mind, and it doesn't matter.
Well,
he takes that as forfeit, you know.
is
welcome to my life.
I think we were playing the same time, around the same time, because even Five and Shiz was online. We were playing, and we were doing things. We were on like kind of the same area, but it was just like totally different games. What you were talking about was different from what I was experiencing at
people
the same
you've
time.
Killed or what you're wearing can change people's opinions of you.
And
like, cool.
That doesn't seem like it's too much for me to ask. For me to have the same game as you, but have a different...
I will also say that when I play a game, I'm playing the game to get an ending and win.
Yeah.
I'm gaming it. I'm gaming the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas with The Wolf Among Us, I recognize that it's more of a story, less of a game. So, yeah, I'm going to do the parts. You know, I'm not going to lose a fight or whatever. But I understand that I cannot choose to not kill this boss or like or go somewhere else or not do this quest. Like... My choices are very different. The way I'm interpreting the body of work, I guess.
If you put Mass Effect and Fallout in front of me, I'm not gaming that. If you put Strider or Street Fighter in front of me, I'm gaming that. Because there's a different level of, I don't know, like...
engagement?
Yeah,
way
engagement.
Different experiences.
Yeah, exactly. So if a game comes up to me and is like, oh... We're going to give you this.
Game walks up to you.
Yeah, he just walks up to me on the street. I'm totally minding my business. And he opens up his little cartridge and he's like,
you looking for a good sandbox?
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. You're going to hit the nail on the head. Looking for a sandbox with great narrative and story-driven gameplay. And then I open it and I start playing it. And it's one linear thing that should have been a game that's gamed. Then I'm going to be disappointed.
I don't know. I appreciate the use of linearness.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, where, like, the selling point of the Telltale games is it's an interactive storybook. It's not just a storybook. It's an interactive storybook that gives you decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why just go...
Game it?
Why not just go balls deep? Why give you a few decisions that don't matter at all to the ending or even the middle? Why not actually make those decisions give you an actual impact? Even though it'll be harder, there'll be more variables.
Don't they affect the immediate situation, though?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Do all decisions have to affect everything you do in life? You ate for breakfast today is going to affect
futile.
You the rest of your life?
Yeah, either crap or I don't.
It feels futile. Yeah.
And that would be an immediate reaction.
No, it comes out. Happens later in the day.
It's a very short term.
To be fair, sometimes.
The only part about that is that they kind of, it feels like they expect you to invest in these decisions.
Yeah.
Like these aren't just like, what are you going to have for breakfast? These are decisions between life and death of characters you assumingly grow to care about. But then you're putting this time and thought into it, and then at the end, it really doesn't matter. Like,
I guess that's how they set the situation up.
And
if
I look back at these decisions that I made and then really figure out, like, okay, it really didn't matter if I did either or. That's upsetting to me. And they show you
recap, right?
Yeah, at the end, they show you what you did, who on the internet did
episode 1 and 2 so far of The Wolf Among Us, and they did the recap at the end, and some of them... On the second one, I apparently did everything that everyone else did. Like, me and 66% of everyone else on the internet did the things I did, and it was like, oh, okay, well, then my choices aren't, like, unique, but here's my story, and, like, one of them, in the first one, they're like, hey, you didn't save this guy. And I'm like, oh, crap, I could have saved him? Like, I didn't even know. And that's the thing is, like, discovering what you didn't know, I guess, is the part that's interesting to me.
And then
like
when you go back and you play through it again...
No, I'm not going to do that.
I'm saying those people that will, when they go back and play and save that guy you didn't know you could save, and then they figure out it didn't change anything, how does that satisfy them?
Anyways, practically.
It's just a different way of introducing the same material. And I'm okay with that.
That's just
because it's a good
destiny.
Story.
I don't understand. And see, this is the thing, because you referred back, like, go play, what's the stupid books? The Choose Your Own Adventure books. If you know, these are supposed to be the next step.
Are they?
In those. What do you mean, are they? Yes! Choose Your Own. I'm so upset that I just can't even
speak. Look what you did, Alex.
I broke Aaron. I did it.
Choose Your Own Adventure books. Are
their next evolution is part of these games.
Like video games are the evolution of, you know, tabletop, you know, Dungeons and Dragons type of stuff. Or RPGs, I should say.
Are they?
You know, yes, they are. Come on now. Don't just question mark me in this whole friggin' thing.
You can do that to any.
Yeah, no, really.
Can you?
This is going to be the best meal you. Is it?
Is it?
I have to go to the bathroom. Do you?
That is a mind fuck.
No, I'm saying is those have strengths that can't be embraced by certain mediums.
Because if it's not supposed to be the next evolution, why would they go in that, you know, why are we bringing it to the...
innovation.
The choose your own
adventure what we're talking about here.
Now, when you play your Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us, do you make a decision instantly want to go back and see what the other decision made?
No.
No?
Not the first... Yeah, no. So then no.
Yes,
no?
Instantly. Because instantly I want to know. Once I go through with it, I'm like, well, whatever.
No. Unless it's like a very gut-wrenching... But then they're not even...
I'm terrible at reading Choose Your Own Adventure books because I'll choose something, I'll go
something...
Oh,
you hold the page.
And I hold the page and I go right back and I go see what the other one is. That's how I did my Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Never read as a child?
I had friends, sorry.
I did too. They just weren't books.
Wow, terrible. Frodo was real.
He was.
But these games that we play, like I said, I'm with you on that one, Corey. I don't like the shallow, you are changing this, and at the end, you didn't change anything.
And you know, the thing is, too, though, but the way it's done with Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us, they're still great games. I still like to play them.
I'll still
play them, and I'll play them twice just to see the other ending. But in a perfect world, I would pay $69.99 or $59.99.
Wow, don't raise. Do not raise the game prices.
No, not for that.
Please.
No, not for that. I would pay $59.99 for a true storybook experience that's a true.
I feel like there has to be a game out there that actually does truly have that many.
I want Telltale to do it, though, because I really like it.
Isn't. What is that Office game?
Stanley Parable?
Stanley Parable.
That has a whole bunch of depending on your decisions.
That one's probably the closest
so,
you're going to get right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I want that level of detail on a grander scale.
For me, and maybe it's just me also, if it has too many endings, I will actually get anxious about not choosing the right ending or a good ending or an ending that I like. So then I'll stop playing it entirely because I don't want to make the right choices.
That means the developers have affected you outside, like your real...
No, that's just like real life. That's like normal...
Okay, so
fourth wall stuff.
That's fourth wall stuff.
That's like me going to the store and be like, I don't know what I want to get for food, so I'm just not going to go to the store.
So I'm just
going
to starve.
True story.
When they can break that fourth wall like that, that is true talent to me. Like,
it's good writing
for horror games.
No, I'm
so they
just
can
a
make
psycho.
You like I said
that's
with,
not good.
With horror games at E3 when I was like, yeah, this is getting a little too scary, let me walk out of the room.
I need to go to a meeting.
Yeah, I gotta go to a meeting, guys, sorry, here's the controller. Like, no, you don't, you wuss.
I get that anxiety. I can understand that anxiety, especially in a game, but then for me in a game I gotta remind myself, like, I want to get the most authentic ending for me, and then I'll go back and worry about it. So I'm just gonna worry about decisions that I would do if I'm role-playing a game.
Right.
And then I just got to stick to that. I do have to remind myself outside the game, oh, man, shit, I want to see what happens. Can I nail this chick? But no, I wouldn't have... I'm not going to flirt with this girl because I got, you know...
Yeah, no, I get that. Not flirting with someone. Yeah.
And I think that's
hard.
Yeah.
That's cool. When you make the decisions like that and you don't have to, like... it's not a decision where it's like, oh, crap, I should have jumped over that. You know, now I'm dead.
You want to make decisions?
I don't know if that was the right choice. Yeah. I mean, I'm dead now and I got a game over. But
not
I think that's
that
the ending that the developers wanted me to
get. Yeah, that was the story. Clearly, Mario wanted to die here.
World 1-1. Yeah, that Goomba is just, it's a great story.
You didn't get that ending? World 1-1? I don't know if we were playing the same game then.
My game ended in blue. I went down a hole and it was just all blue.
That ending soundtrack was amazing. But Game of Thrones, if it suffers from the same things, you know, we'll bring it back around. If Game of Thrones suffers from the same things that Walking Dead did...
I do think Telltale has gotten better, though. They've gotten better in all of their games, just throughout time. Because they've been around ages.
And when I played The Wolf Among Us Episode 1, I felt less aware of the decisions than I do in Walking Dead. For Walking Dead, it feels like they're laying it out a little too obvious. And I felt that...
LCD. It's an LCD game, for sure.
Wolf Among Us was a little bit better.
Less coming down.
Oh.
For Telltale?
Didn't you just use that freaking...
Like
I thought of liquid crystal display. Okay. Yeah. I don't understand.
Let's go on to the next license game. Alien Isolation.
I'm excited.
I'm going on the records and saying it's going to be bad.
Of course it's going to be bad, but I'm so excited for it to not.
No one has made an alien game we want to play. A game that is based on the values on the original movie that took you back to the roots of the series, said Alistair Hope, creative lead of Alien Isolation and Creativity Assembly. Alien is a 35-year-old woman with...
Is she?
Alien is a 35-year-old... is 35 years old. I'm already on to my own thing. This year, and I believe that you can watch it today and still get an emotional reaction out of it. Even though it's a guy in a rubber suit.
What? It's a guy in a rubber suit?
What?
It's a giant African in a rubber suit.
Is it really?
Have you seen the guy?
Is it the same?
It could have been. No, it could have been in Aliens that it's a giant African. I don't know who the original one is.
One of the two, though.
I believe it. Because that's really scary.
A guy in a giant rubber suit is actually very scary. Yeah. We felt that by revisiting the past, we could deliver something totally new. I haven't seen anything on this game yet.
You haven't? No. Oh, the aesthetic is almost exactly like the original Alien movie.
Survival Horror, we're talking?
Yeah.
Okay. It does look cool. Continue.
It looks so good because they're like big clunky buttons and it looks old. Like, you know how like old school future they were in the movies?
Yeah,
they were like,
yeah.
Check it out. It's, you know, a spectrograph display and that's the future. It's like, okay. That's what it looks like. And a lot of the tools and stuff are like that. They have just like stuff that's been wrecked. And they also were talking about how a lot of the sound design is going to come into play because you can hear it moving, but then you have a motion sensor, but you don't have any weapons. So like you'll see it and it'll go beep, beep, and it'll see it. And you're like, oh God, I got to hide and figure out a way. But you'll also have to interact with it too to be like, well, I need to get through there. So I got to do something to deal with that and run away and not die. It looks pretty exciting.
We want to deliver an alien creature which dominates the frame and control of the world around it. An alien is a massive and terrifying... An alien that is massive and terrifying that looks down on the player and doesn't run around the player's feet like angry dogs waiting to be shot. Wait, so this is based off the Alien movie, correct?
It takes place between 1 and 2.
Yes.
So there's going to be multiple aliens?
Possibly.
Xenomorphs? Multiple xenomorphs?
I don't think they've seen.
Because in the first movie, there was only one, right?
That's why it's called Alien.
Exactly. And in part two, Aliens.
That's where the queen came.
Exactly. So.
Right. So there's going to be one.
So there's only one in this.
There's one.
Okay.
And that's the thing. Apparently they're actually going, they're really harping on the size as well. Because apparently in Aliens, some of the size difference got lost where they aren't as big. Because they're supposedly towering huge monstrosities.
Yeah, that's not what I think Aliens.
No, nowadays.
Based from the more recent stuff. Like from Predators, the big guy, and then Aliens. Like,
and Aliens are smaller.
Yeah,
they're
doggy-like creatures.
They're,
yeah.
No, they're huge. They're like the at least the original one.
The original one
was like
9-10
feet. Like 9-10 feet tall, and they're just huge and massive. And they're like, oh my God, because they're taller than you, and they're scary as hell.
But see, the only reason why I brought up that question is because his statement here... where it says Alien is massive, terrifying, looks down on player. Yeah, they didn't want to make it like dogs running around the feet. So I'm thinking they're thinking like your regular AI enemies that just come up to you around.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Well, they're also citing the last Alien game, whatever that was called.
Oh, so are they just
Colonial
sneak dissing?
Colonial.
Is that what they're doing?
Well, they're like, hey, it's not going to be shitty like that.
So that's sneak dissing. That's what we call it in the hood. Sneak dissing.
Throwing shade.
Yeah.
I understand throwing shade, but not sneak dissing.
Look up sneak
dissing. What was our other one for earlier in the show?
Puzzle Ways?
Yeah, Puzzle Ways is a good one. Get it trending, everybody.
This is education.
Hashtag Puzzle Ways.
Hashtag Puzzle Ways. It feels like there is an alternate experience the player could have in a iconic have with the iconic character, a different interaction. We want to make an encounter with a single alien meaningful to the player. So, yes, single alien. This is a creature that is lethal and intelligent. A killer.
A killer.
Who leaves the player in no doubt that you are its quarry. We want to restore the position as the deadliest of adversaries. There's going to be a predator somewhere in there. We're just one of these creatures with command the player's respect.
Please don't.
I'm telling you, at the end, he's going to drop down, throw a blade, cut the head off, turn around, and then blow up the whole ship with his nuke that's on his arm.
That.
So you are race. The second person that I've heard whenever I say Alien. I'm just going to mash both of them. Isolation and Alien. So the second person I've heard that said they were extremely excited or at least tingly in their junk part about Alien Isolation.
Less the junk part, more in my right leg.
Okay, more in the right leg.
I'm very excited in the junk part about the Sigourney Weaver return.
We talked about that previously.
He was upset, though. Enthusiastic. He said, why can't I just have them in the beginning? It's a DLC. Yeah. Why can't they just be...
Because that's not the story they want to tell.
They're not telling that story, correct?
Yeah, they're telling about Ripley's daughter.
Yeah.
Really, now?
Yeah.
She had a daughter?
Yeah.
Was it in the canon?
I don't know.
No,
okay. I don't
know.
Just
making, okay.
I think they are. I think some people were a little upset.
How unfortunate is that family?
That's always really bizarre when it's like, this shit's happening to that person's kid now.
Wow, really? Come on.
Well, that's actually why the kid's there. They're like, I gotta find this out or figure this out.
She's
or find my mom.
Yeah, she's researching.
Nonetheless,
gotta find my mom.
Nonetheless,
that's what they did in the Predators movie too. Like,
I didn't like the Predators movie. That
you
much.
Didn't like that one?
Nah, it has a big nose. Adrian Brody?
I didn't like...
Yeah, that was a bad choice for...
I didn't like the
Have
twist.
You guys seen Brody Quest?
No.
Look it up. Brody Quest.
All right.
You
have it, everybody.
You have to.
So survival horror. What new things have you heard that they're going to be doing in this game, Alex Bagginsworth?
Just your usage of tools, kind of the sound, not being armed, kind of going back to that old school of, like you were talking about, feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like so very vulnerable.
Kind of Outlast.
Yeah, kind of Outlast.
Have a camera phone?
I don't know if you have a camera phone. I mean, I know it's the future, but it's not.
I know.
It's the 1990s.
It's the days
future.
Of future past.
How bad! That's
so
this terrible.
This gonna be shit. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That was it for the license games because that last one is not a license game.
It's a good spot to end. We are already well past.
Midnight?
Yeah, we're past midnight. Oh.
Happy birthday, Corey.
Happy birthday, Corey.
How old are you, 30?
Where's the cake?
37.
Laura, you can come out of that cake.
We got your cake right here.
The cake came in, you just didn't hear it.
Oh. We can cupcake.
That's so terrible. That's so terrible. So, originally this planned to be a two-parter. Looks like it's going to be a seven. But that's okay.
Is turning into the Hobbit movie?
That's okay. Yeah, this is literally is turning into Lord of the Hobbits.
At least we have content to actually keep it going.
And that's good. That's good.
I'm looking at you, Hobbit movies.
Wow. Wow. You didn't like the Hobbit movies?
I didn't watch
Shots
the second
fired,
one.
Fired, Gandalf.
But it's got Sherlock Holmes and Watson in it.
Yeah, I can make mouth noises that don't matter, too. I can do that as well. No, it's stupid. They stretched it too far.
Okay. Okay. All right. Then we'll call it a wrap. When we return next week, we will hit Dim Franchise Boys. I know everybody's been waiting on that
one. Franchise Boys.
That one is going to be amazing. There are
with
a lot
Z,
of good games.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. There's actually a lot of games in that one.
Amazing.
And we will try our damnedest to stay on track with the, you know, the topic.
It's a good episode, not though. I like
He's
it.
Giving you honeyed lies.
I like to see... Alex is making Aaron sweat a little bit. And,
sweat?
I like it.
You are sweating, right?
No, not one bit.
No, I'm sweating. I'm sweating.
You're sweating. That's fine if you sweat. Aaron Carter doesn't sweat.
He glistens.
I glisten. Yeah, I glow. I glow like a pregnant
soul
woman.
Glow?
Yeah.
Soul glow?
Just let your soul,
soul glow.
All right, we're wrapping it up. For Alex, Jada, and Corey, I am Sir Aaron Carter saying next week.
There's more? Never.
There is more, actually. Yeah, there's lots more. Well, yeah, that's it. Go ahead and stop now.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.